considered wrongfully detained are now back on U.S. soil after being released from Venezuela. A total of 10 Americans were released, and as part of the deal, one is a fugitive known as Fat Leonard, who fled the U.S. before being sentenced for his role in a military bribery and corruption case. He'll be sent back to the States to face justice. President Biden is praising the release and says Venezuela seems to be holding up its end of the deal.
We've laid down specific requirements for Democratic election. He's agreed to all of them.
CBS's Ed O'Keefe reports from the White House.
Notably, the families are quite happy about this. That's understandable. One of the mothers of one of the detained Americans in her statement thanked U.S. officials and called the State Department office that deals with hostage affairs a group of, quote, rock stars.
In the swap, the U.S. has given back to Venezuela's president, one of his allies who was doing time here for money laundering, saying that it violates the Second Amendment. A federal judge temporarily blocks a California law that would have banned carrying concealed guns in most public places. The Georgia judge overseeing Rudy Giuliani's defamation case orders him to pay the $148 million judgment to two former election workers immediately. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Apparently, Giuliani owns property in New York and Florida and has several bank accounts, although it is unlikely that it could satisfy the $148 million damage award. Enforcing a judgment is sometimes more difficult than even winning a trial. More court proceedings will be necessary here for them to collect.
The East Coast storm system is gone, but local businesses are still dealing with floodwaters in Warwick, Rhode Island. WPRI-TV Sheena Lasciuto reports.
Waterfront property becomes a property in water.
A river coming through the tap room.
It's been a busy 48 hours for Appanock Brewing Company in Warwick.
You don't want a current in your building. How about that? And there were things floating in the building.
Inside, there was a pool of water. Outside, the river's force moved stuff all over the place.
A slow-moving storm is starting to bring rain and possible flooding to California through Los Angeles to San Diego. The dryout hits on Saturday afternoon. Sources close to Hamas tell CBS News that it's hoping to secure another agreement with Israel for a temporary pause. The militant group's top political leader is in Egypt, and Israel has indicated it would be willing to negotiate a pause. CBS's MTS Tayeb.
The UN Security Council has again delayed a vote on a new resolution to get desperately needed aid into Gaza. But there's growing hope the U.S. may actually support the resolution with some changes, despite Israel's staunch objections to it.
This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Gillette Intimate gives guys a gentle and easy shave on there. And around there. And even under there. Don't treat your groin like junk. Respect it with Gillette Intimate, the best a man can get. Buy now at a retailer near you.
Temperatures getting low, but demand remains high? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. And Indeed's interview tool lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from their website. Visit Indeed.com/credits.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
O'Reilly Auto Parts Holiday Gift Guide is here. If you're struggling with gift ideas, we have several options for gifts under $20, like a digital tire gauge, screwdriver sets, LED work lights, and more. Our professional parts people will help you pick out the perfect gift for that hard-to-buy-for person. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or shop O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hello, this is Melissa Kay, news director and co-host for Mornings with WFHR. I want to wish you and yours a wonderful holiday season filled with love and joy.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden was in Wisconsin Wednesday, touting the benefits of his plan to strengthen the economy. He was at the Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce.
Milwaukee business applications are up 70% compared before the pandemic. The share of black people employed in Milwaukee in 2022 was the highest in more than a decade.
The president says since taking office, black employment in Milwaukee is the highest in more than a decade. The Republican district attorney in Sheboygan County is appealing a Dane County judge's ruling that an 1849 law bans feticide and not consensual abortions. Joel Ermansky also questions whether Attorney General Josh Call had standing to bring the lawsuit that led to the Dane County ruling. Ermansky says he wants the case to be brought directly to the state Supreme Court. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Another Bucks milestone. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Spurs 132-119. Damian Lillard led with 40 points, becoming one of only 51 NBA players to score more than 20,000 points in their career.
A rare space to be in, you know, in the history of this league, to have only 51 players accomplish something like that. You know, I think that speaks for itself. I look at, you know, what led up to it, the things that I think of in high school and college and, you know, the doubt that I faced over the course of my career, you know, before the NBA, and just my mentality through all of those things. You know, sometimes you don't really see the light at the end of the tunnel. You just got to have that faith in yourself.
NFL, the Packers play the Panthers in Carolina Sunday. Defensive back Eric Stokes, glad to be back after recovering from a badly injured foot and knee.
It was a great feeling being back out there. I ain't played ball in over 13 months or whatever. So it was a great feeling just being out there with the guys. Very, very much emotional.
That's the Packers' Eric Stokes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist.
Did you know Wisconsin Rapids used to be two towns, one on each side of the river? Centralia consolidated with Grand Rapids, but residents wanted a name change. Too much mail ended up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, not Wisconsin. Wisconsin Rapids became the official city name in 1920. For locally grown radio, WFHR, I'm Terry Barr.
Work on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 25, Wednesday sunny with a high near 39, and Thursday cloudy with a high around 38.
Get the appliances you've been dreaming of for less at Warner Stallion's year-end clearance. Shop closeouts, scratch and dent, and floor models. Plus, buy more to save more. Take 10% off two red tags and 15% off three at Warner Stallion's year-end clearance.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Henry Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are right, Dega. This portion of the show is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count. Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life.
Well, you know, that's a coincidence. We have Barb on, and Barb's one of our all-time great guests here. And I just want to introduce Barb. Fabre is the CEO of Indigenous Visioning and All Nations Rise. She's an enrolled member of White Earth Ojibwe Nation. And Barb has been a lifelong child advocate. And we always have fun and learn so much when Barb comes on. Welcome, as always, to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Bonjour. Happy to be here, as always.
You know, we always talk about, like, really interesting things about our relatives out there. And it's really cool how you work with kids, children, parents. You know, we have a lot of fun, and we want to talk a little bit tonight about Tribal Blueprint. And I would really love to hear what Tribal Blueprint is.
Sure. So it's been a long process and project between the Bipartisan Policy Center and Indigenous Visioning. And we've been talking about childcare for years. The Bipartisan Policy Center is out of Washington, D.C., and Linda Smith's been on here with me before. And she and I, and Rob Grunewald also helped us. But it's the Invisible Children, Invisible Families, a blueprint for supporting the childcare needs of American Indian and Alaska Native families, is a result of several years spent examining the childcare and early learning needs of our tribal communities, researching and understanding to which extent current level funding that goes out to tribes is definitely not enough. And the more we looked, the more we found.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about what you found in the insights with this 2 years of research?
Sure. The three takeaways and recommendations is strengthening communication and collaboration between states, governments, and tribal governments. It's very hodgepodgey, and not every state, not every tribe does it. So in order to really work together for the families sharing the same space of tribes and states, you know, we want to recommend that that happens everywhere in every state. The other one is new approaches for tribes to serve members off reservation in the urban areas. We have a lot of families in the urban areas, and this is members, descendants, and they are not receiving the services the tribe offers on their homeland. Thirdly, reforming federal funding to address the tribal needs and using data-driven methods. Right now, there is no formula for it. It's just a percentage, and it's not based on anything. And because many tribes may not have you know, data systems where they can tell how many, you know, members and descendants they have and can serve, you know, it's really a guessing game by every tribe that receives that funding. And I'll back up a little bit. The Child Care Development Block Grant is what states receive and tribes receive to create child care systems.
Yeah, and you hit it on the nose, too. I think when people are enrolled members and their family is descendants, a lot of times they don't get counted. And I know one of the most interesting things I've learned over the years of doing this show is how big the urban community is, Barb.
It's huge. In the report, we were able and fortunate enough to find some data that showed, I want to say there was like 800,000 just in the urban Minnesota setting, and that's membership and descendants that self-identify as Native American. That's a lot of people, and there are no tribal child care programs, very few. There's I think they counted over 4,000 children from birth to three. And there's maybe two programs in the metro that are urban, are Native. And then there's not Tribal Head Start. Good news, Tribal McVee, which is a tribal home visiting, that just recently was able to go through a Minneapolis agency to receive that. But we get a lot of kids there, and they need services.
Yeah, and you know, I got to let our audience know, too, when it comes to this colonized blood quantum, when I was teaching, I had Native kids that were full-blood Native, but from different tribes. So that's a challenge, too. What other challenges have you run into?
Well, nobody has the right data, even the census. And you know how the census is in Indian country, you know, it's kind of hit and miss, and, you know, but there's just so many families that are not receiving services, and that's what we wanted to highlight in this, and especially in the urban communities across the states. And if we want our children to be in high quality, culturally relevant, where the child care provider is from, you know, looks like them, talks like them, you know, that's huge. That means a lot to children and families.
Exactly. Hey, we're here with Barb Parbray, and we're talking about the tribal blueprint research, which is really opening up some eyes, I imagine, through this research. And we're talking a little bit about that. You know, there's some recommendations. What are some of the recommendations that came out of this?
Well, we definitely want to have more states to have annual tribal consultations. And it's a two-way street. We also encourage tribes to reach out to their states if it's not happening, because by talking and working together, they can help identify the needs and come up with solutions to serve our families in an urban setting. You know, there's a lot that can happen when tribes and states meet. And like I said, there's some that do it very well, and there's many that don't do it at all. And that's such a disservice to families, both on the reservation and in the rural or in the metro areas. So, and we found that, the data doesn't represent our people, both on the reservation and in the urban setting. So we need to get a handle on that so that we can have our fair funding.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Barb, hold on for another segment. This is always really interesting talking to you about this, and especially with this tribal blueprint research and what it's telling us. Thank you for being on, and we're going to grab you on another segment here. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
I'm Claudia with MinSure, Minnesota's official health insurance marketplace. With MinSure, you can compare health plans from multiple companies and get free help from a trusted expert. Whatever health plan you choose with MinSure, it's guaranteed to cover essential benefits so you can get the care you need. See if you qualify for discounts, available only through MinSure. If you need quality, comprehensive health insurance, get started now at MinSure.org.
As we gear up for the holiday season, let's prioritize the safety of our community, especially our cherished elders and loved ones. As you plan your holiday gatherings, remember, whether you're young or in good health, you could still unknowingly spread COVID-19. The key to a safer celebration is getting vaccinated. The newest vaccines are authorized, effective against current variants, and FDA approved for ages 6 months and up. So here's the call to action. Be a vaccinative. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Getting vaccinated before your holiday gatherings is a powerful way to ensure a safer and happier time for everyone. Let's honor our elders by preserving their wisdom and stories for generations to come. So be a vaccinative this holiday season. Find more information, including clinics with free vaccines, at vaccines.gov.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
And have conversations around early childhood development, because we know that our next generations are so, so important to our community. You can learn more at littlemomentscount.org.
Hey, thanks, Haley. And we're here with Barb Fabre, and she's the CEO of Indigenous Visioning and All Nations Rise. And we're talking about the Tribal Blueprint Project, and I think I accidentally called it the Tribal Blueprint Research, but it's a project, and we're kind of talking a little bit about the recommendations that are coming up. And right now, I'd like to find out a little bit about communication and collaboration, and if there's some cool examples you can give our listening audience about that.
Sure. So one of the biggest things that we just talked about was the data. So mm-hmm. as you know, tribes don't have many tribes don't have a data system. Well, we feel that there's, you know, the federal government should allow additional funding in whatever avenue they choose to, so that tribes can support and maintain their own data systems. And unless we can tell our story through data, you know, we really are a silent and invisible population. And so, you know, we... BIA, for example, I believe they only count the tribal members, but that doesn't, you know, count the descendants, the second, third, fourth, fifth generation. Right. I'm like, I'm with you, Robert. The blood quantum needs to go. It's hurting our people and our tribes in the future.
Definitely colonized thinking. And I know there's some nations that have changed that. And but again, data, you know, you don't want to sink a tribe with having too many members, but you also want to do it in a good way and be open to our relatives. So this is part of a big conversation that we have here sometimes, but it fits right in here with the blueprint. We need to reach out to our relatives and help them and support them. You know, what else do you think about the strategies? I mean, how do we advocate and for recognizing and supporting the needs of these young ones that are beyond the reservation boundaries, like we're talking about?
Right. If we had, I don't even know if tribes have that data of members living off the reservation, whether it's members or descendants. I don't think anybody has that. And if federal funding is based on the number of members,
right,
and I say that loosely, you know, then we're not counting all of our members and descendants. You know, we're doing a disservice to our tribes by not providing that. So, you know, it's all in the data. The other thing is that we went to Montana and we visited many tribes, mm-hmm. and we found just even here in Minnesota, I hear it all the time. We find parents, because there's such a lack of childcare, they're driving an hour, you know, yeah. on winter roads just to get to childcare. And, you know, one of the parents that we interviewed out there, you know, he said, he overcame a lot just to get where he was. He was enrolled in their tribal college. And, you know, he had a life of challenges, and he got to college and his biggest challenge was finding childcare, and he felt that shouldn't even be an issue for him, and it really shouldn't.
Right.
Really shouldn't. We should be able to also license childcare providers in the metro area again, so that children are, you know, with people that look and talk like them. Mm-hmm. And there's familiarity with our environments and our cultural and language. So there's just so many gains for tribes if many of the recommendations, you know, are looked at and even changed on the federal level.
Right.
There's just so many things happening in the urban area, and there's many families that are not receiving those services. So just think about that. You know, they're not receiving tribal Head Start. you know, and many families live off the reservation for many reasons. And many is, you know, economics. They have to go to the city to find the jobs because there isn't a lot on a reservation. So we wrote this hoping that, you know, policymakers will take a look at what we found, what we heard. We did lots of surveys. We did lots of interviews, site visits, and talked to agencies both on the reservation and off the reservation. And there's a lot of common themes there.
Wow. And Haley, we've had this discussion on the show, and I can't remember, was it 65% urban Indians as opposed to 35 living on the res here in Minnesota? Was there some number that was unbelievable? Yeah. I was surprised to hear that, but I've heard it more than once, Barb.
Yeah, we found there was, I believe it was around 80% of wow. the members of a tribe living off the reservation. And again, yeah. we do not know, is that just members or is that descendants? So, you know, it's not a true story we're telling, even with those numbers. They're probably yeah. double.
So we need reforming in the federal funding, and we need to talk about this a lot and consistently talk about it, Barb.
Right. You know, and in tribes and states, you know, if they met regularly, you know, they could figure this out for their state. So that was one of our big recommendations was for tribes and states just to meet regularly and find out, listen to the memberships both on the reservation and off, and how to come up with funding or services that can reach down to the urban setting. For example, the childcare. It's not in statute, but it's in a policy at the federal level. That you can't serve families off the reservation no more than 20. One said 20 miles, another said 35 miles. Hmm. So, you know, that could be an easy fix. And we are asking that tribes, federal programs allow tribes to go off reservation when it comes to things like that. They already do it in Minnesota for Indian child welfare, in for foster care, so they should be able to do it with child care.
Absolutely. And, you know, Barb, you know this, and I know you always come up with great stuff. We need a call to action that our listeners and people that will be listening to this once it turns into a podcast and is out there again. What kind of call to action, especially with the policymakers, can we do as citizens or support you in Indigenous visioning and All My Nation Rise? How can we do that?
Talk to your legislators, seriously, and, you know, talk to them and tell them your story and tell them, ask them why, you know, you if you're living in Minneapolis, for example, why your tribe can't support you and your children with quality childcare. You know, just like Little Moments Count, you know, we're all about making sure that children 0 to 5 or 0 to 12 are getting high quality. You know, our kids are not, they're hurting in school and they're arriving at school not ready. Mm-hmm. And so when they're not ready, they have to catch up. And, you know, high quality childcare, Head Start, Tribal Head Start, all those programs are there to ensure that children are ready. But only a small portion of children receive those services right now.
So along with that, what is your opinion of some of the most critical steps that need to be taken to ensure success? I hear a couple steps. Are there any more?
Well, definitely get involved, you know, especially with the when tribes encourage tribes, your tribal leaders, and encourage your state leaders, officials, to have these tribal consultations.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. The plane carrying 10 American prisoners from Venezuela lands at a U.S. air base in Texas. U.S. Special Envoy Roger Karstens.
The president has to make a hard decision, and he has to weigh different considerations to finally get someone home. And the president did that to bring these men home, and they're all the better for it.
Also released, a fugitive wanted by the U.S. In return, the U.S. gives back to Venezuela's president one of his allies who was serving time for money laundering. The Georgia judge overseeing Rudy Giuliani's defamation case orders him to pay the $148 million judgment immediately. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Enforcing a judgment is sometimes more difficult than even winning a trial. More court proceedings will be necessary here for them to collect.
A slow-moving storm is expected to bring rain and possible flooding to Southern California. CBS Los Angeles meteorologist Amber Lee.
We finally begin to dry out by the time we head into Saturday afternoon, and that's good news for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Sunny, dry, a little warmer.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Influenza levels have been picking up significantly across Wisconsin. The state health department says that about 1 in 10 people who test for either influenza, RSV, or COVID are testing positive. Nearly 300 people have been hospitalized from influenza this month. Still, those numbers are significantly down compared to last year. President Biden was in Wisconsin Wednesday touting the benefits of his plan to strengthen the economy. He was at the Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce.
When you increase the middle class, the poor have a shot and the wealthy still do very well. The middle class does well and we all do well. That's what we call Bidenomics.
The president also says he wants to bring back the child tax credit, which he says lifted half of all black children in the U.S. out of poverty. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 20s. And more clouds around for Thursday, a high in the upper 30s. Slight rain chance Friday, a high in the low 40s. Even warmer for the weekend, mostly cloudy Saturday, rain chance Sunday, warming from the 40s to the 50s. Current temp is 30.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going, baby.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Max Inc. Radio invites you to a live concert each week over the radio. It's Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Saturday night. It's a full hour of live music and in-depth interviews with the artists. Listen across Civic Media every Saturday at 9 p.m. and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Dane County Executive Joe Parisi. Joe, let me ask you. You've made a little news. You have declared what in regard to the Twitter, now known as the X, and the Dane County municipal accounts. Joe, have you banned Twitter?
Well, we're no longer going to be using Twitter, I think is probably the...
Is that the same as banning Twitter, sir?
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
you should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Women across the state of Wisconsin, welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I almost said welcome as well.
Right. just Arvina is and might have to. I'm going to go to New York in a week or so. Might have to host again. Ooh. But I talked to our president of Ho-Chunk Nation about coming on Wednesday with you. And we can have just a whole hour of round robin fun.
That would be awesome. I would be super excited to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking
that
of,
would be fun.
Yeah. And he's a personality plus and really smart guy. And I'm happy that he's our president. Really, we don't talk a lot of Ho-Chunk politics here because of my other job, but I really support our president, John Greendeer, just a really smart guy that really is there for the people.
And has a good heart.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
So,
Arvina, you know, there's some exciting news, and we talked a little bit about it, but we're glad that we have Arvina on because there's a couple things. Arvina's based out of Wisconsin, and Arvina also was the first Native American city council member in the city of Madison and is really plugged in politically, as I saw when I was down there being the voice of Wisconsin during the convention, that so plugged in. But, wow, some really good news. Kind of catching up to Minnesota because we have the same thing here and we have a couple schools, but nevertheless, really exciting news about how the free tuition came out.
Yeah, UW-Madison announced on Monday that they are going to be starting next fall, any student who is a member, an enrolled member of one of Wisconsin's 11 federally recognized tribes, will be able to attend University of Wisconsin-Madison, the flagship university of the University of Wisconsin system, home of the Badgers, yay! And awesome, amazing women's volleyball team, as well as women's hockey. I guess the guys are okay too at hockey, but you know, the women are really kicking sheench in volleyball, and women's volleyball made it to the Final Four just recently. But anyways, free tuition, free room and board expenses for Native students who are members of one of the 11 federally recognized tribes of Wisconsin. And then I believe it was yesterday that it was also announced that the law school is going to do the same thing. So for wow. any of you Native folks in Wisconsin that have been thinking about going to college or going back to college or going back to get a degree, you know, maybe this is your sign that you should go check it out and see what your options are, because there's potential for your tuition to be covered. And then you don't have to worry about student loans, et cetera. Especially if you're looking at things like law school, those student loans can be huge in making the decision. I know that I thought about going to law school for a while because I'm interested in and work in politics and such. And then was like, I don't want to take out debt. Right. and have realized since that time that I am not an attorney type. I am, you know, by nature, I am an organizer, and that is not necessarily the same skill set that attorneys have. So I'll continue organizing people while we have the people that are good, the attorneys that can interpret laws and policy.
Yeah, absolutely. Not everyone can do the same thing, but I think you'd be a good lawyer too. I think, you know, there's all different kinds of law, so you don't have to, you know, you don't have to, you know, be my lawyer when I get all these speeding tickets in Wisconsin. So, there's other kinds of law, but you know, we, without putting a damper on things, you know, my understanding is, the Republicans, certain Republicans don't like that.
Yeah. I've heard rumblings of things happening, but nothing official has come out yet. But this is, it's interesting because this announcement came out basically on the heels of the UW Regents voting to agree to a, and I'm using, for those of you who aren't watching us online, I'm using air finger quotes right now to say compromise, and a compromise that allowed the university to give pay raises to their staff at the expense of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion staff on campus. They're freezing positions with the intent on making them, on cutting positions, as well as making a lot of those positions student worker positions, which are completely different than a full-time employee position. When the decision was signed as part of the joint committee on employee relations, aka JOKER, in this case the acronym is kind of appropriate. You know, the agreement was signed, but you know, the state assembly speaker Robin Voss said, well, this is just the beginning of our fight against DEI, and Wisconsinites don't care about diversity. And so I don't expect that this announcement is going to go over without comments. The good thing for this position, or for the tuition, is that these scholarships, this funding, is coming from private sources, so it's not coming from the state at all. So they can't really do anything about that particular piece of the puzzle. But I'm sure we're going to hear about more attempts to cut staff, more attempts to cut programs that really do great things for student, particularly BIPOC students on campus. You know, it's a pretty lonely place. It can be a pretty lonely place on a giant campus when there aren't that many other BIPOC folks. And you know, the work that DEI staff do in order to retain students of color, but also to make sure that their experiences on campus are good and positive. I mean, that's a really hard thing to measure, and it can't really be measured, you know, as in like there are this many students and now it's grown, when that's not necessarily what is the point of these programs. And you know, I think about the events that Wang Sheik, the UW undergrad student group for Native students, the events that they put on for Native November, culminating in, and I know we talked about it, culminating in Dallas Goldtooth coming to speak on campus. You know, they did a lot of events. A lot of that was spurred on, you know, students did the work for that, but they were assisted by staff. There was money available, and this is this is 1 month out of the year, and it was, I know it's how important it is to have events that celebrate culture, that celebrate the things that are important to you and values in your life. And a lot of those things fall by the wayside. So, you know, DEI funding is a really big deal. And when you want to think about retention of particularly BIPOC and as well as queer students, you know, having that program and having safe spaces available where people can let go and take off that mask of like participating in society, a society that doesn't quite welcome you. It's really important to have those spaces in order for students who are BIPOC or who are queer or who are different in any other kind of way, that they have those kind of spaces. I know the term safe spaces gets kind of a bad rap, but like having like a home base or a place where you can just be yourself is so important, because a lot of kids have that in cafeterias. A lot of kids have that, you know, at student unions, and it's not the same. And to think about it as the same, it really does a detriment to our BIPOC and queer students on campuses. So,
you know, when I was teaching, I always had a loaf of bread and peanut butter and jelly for any one of my students to come in, because, you know, Arvina, we're all about community, and sometimes they need a break and they need some food in their stomach and they need things that you're talking about. And that's a basic need for our people, not just our students, but everybody.
Absolutely. It's having an appropriate space to just let go and to just be, and not having to have, I mean, I think about my time in college and how outside of my Native American studies classes, if anything came up about Natives, every single eye would in the room would turn to me. And, you know, especially students of color or queer students feel like they have to be the resource, and they end up doing teaching to their fellow students. And that's not what you're there for. You are there to learn. And it can be really, really hard to have that kind of wall up all the time in order to protect yourself, in order to get your education.
Hey, we're with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and we got another segment with Arvina, and we're really excited, and I want to get her take on Minnesota's new flag, and then talk about a little history of the Madison city flag. I have a story to tell you before you bring up your story.
Ooh.
Yes. Hey, this is Native Roots, Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP. Along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
As we gear up for the holidays, let's keep our friends, relatives, and elders protected from COVID-19. Even though the emergency declaration is over, COVID-19 is still a concern, especially for those with compromised immune systems. So when you get together this holiday season, opt for outdoor gatherings if weather permits, or well-ventilated indoor spaces. And here's a tough one. If you're feeling unwell before your gathering, stay home. It may not be much fun, but it goes a long way towards keeping our cherished elders healthy. After your event, keep an eye on your health. Test if you notice symptoms. If you're traveling in crowded places like airports, put on a mask for that extra layer of protection. Let's make this holiday season the healthiest ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community. For more tips, visit health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us. www.minnesota.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Arena. Oh.
Good one.
Good one. That's, a little delay there.
Version. The little wolf that's just learning how to howl.
Oh my God. Hey, we're with Arvina Martin, and she's executive director of Merge Wisconsin. And I have a cold, so it sounds like merge, but I meant to say emerge.
Emerge.
Thank you. Hey, we're going to ask you about Minnesota's state flag. But first, before we do that, I want to bring up, have I ever told you a story that I lived in Madison and that I marched in the Madison Scouts Drum and Bugle Corps?
I had no idea.
Yeah.
And the Madison Scouts used to practice right in the big field right by where my house is. For the law. So you probably practiced over there, right next to where I live.
Was it off Johnson Parkway?
No, it was off of Mineral Point on Seago Road. It was at the time Van Heist School, Middle School, okay. And now Wella Hamilton.
Well, I'm talking about the 70s, and I know you.
Oh, were okay.
So I lived there in the 70s, and I graduated in 79, so. A few years living there, but I just wanted to talk about the Madison flag for a second with that background. And so the Madison, the history of the Madison flag, Rick and Dennis Stone, who were members of the Madison Scouts Drum and Bugle Corps, designed this flag when they were kids in 1962. So that's just kind of funny, and I know there's a story, a more updated story about their design, but I thought I'd just throw that out there. It's pretty funny. Small world. I know Dennis really well. And,
really?
Yeah. That's he's an alumni like I am.
Nice. Well, I lived in Madison in the 70s, too, for about a month and a half because I was born in November 1979. So I lived there for a month and a half in the 70s.
It still counts.
But I so while I was on city council, the city of Madison flag, which is it's a great flag. I don't know if anybody here is aware of the organization called the North American Vexillological Association. That word is still very hard for me to say. It is like a group of people that study flags and like the design of flags. And the city of Madison's flag was always rated A+ or like at the top of city flags because the design is simple and it's elegant and it's very nice. The only problem was that there was a Zia Sun symbol in the center, which, you know, for those of you who are familiar, there are not Zia Pueblo. The Zia Pueblo has nothing to do with Madison, Wisconsin. The Stone Brothers, however, you know, saw this design. It looked like kind of like our like an overhead view of our Capitol building. So, you know, when they picked this design back in the 60s when they were kids, they weren't thinking about that design. And so when I was elected, I reached out to the Zia Pueblo and I told them that, you know, we're changing this. And basically we kept the same design. We just took out that symbol. Right. And instead put like a yellow dot in the middle of like the cross that's there. So it's, you know, some color and everything. But you know, the design that the Stone Brothers came up with was really great and really reflected the city being on an isthmus and where the Capitol building is. It's a really great, it's a great flag. So, you know, we were able to keep the spirit of the flag and what it represents to the city of Madison while taking out cultural appropriation and a symbol that didn't really belong to us. Right. And when we did it, my fellow alder who I worked on this project with, Mo Cheeks, we had a flag printed and we gave that new version to them, to the Stone Brothers, that night, in honor of their contribution to the city of Madison history and a really important symbol to the city. So, you know, I've been following this story about Minnesota's flag and trying to take out some of the inappropriateness, and I'm really impressed with the flag that was decided upon. It's a really great flag, and because I spent so much time reading about the opinions of members of the Vexillological Society, that I kind of feel like I understand what makes a good flag design. And one of the number one thing that they said don't do is don't put a seal on it. Like a state seal, not like an animal. If you want to put a seal on your flag, I suppose it's fine. But the simplification of the design and the star, you know, representing the North Star, and then the blue field that represents the Mississippi River, I think it's amazing. That's a really great flag that Minnesotans can be really proud of.
Yeah. Were you familiar with the old one with the Indian running away and the guy with the gun ready to shoot him?
I had no idea until recently that was what was it was just on my list as one of the flags that has a seal on it. But holy no, come on.
Yeah, well, it reminds me of the Sioux Uprising for some reason. There's a native on a horse flying through this guy's field, and then there's a big shotgun leaning against a tree stump ready for him to take action against this Indian. Yeah. Oh, there, you can't really.
I'll find a better one.
Yeah. Haley, it's hard to see, but there's it was the seal too. But, so we're happy. I'm happy regardless. And I think change is good and change is inevitable, but can you see way in the back there?
There's a horse.
And then there's a stump right up there with this farmer to the left of the center of the flag, and he's got a gun ready to do business.
All of you radio listeners, if you could see my face right now, it's not a happy face. It wow. Actually reminds me of I can't remember what the name of the town was, but it's in upstate New York, I believe, that has a town flag, and it's supposed to represent like fisticuffs, like some kind of like hand-to-hand combat battle between a native person and a white person. Whoa. And literally, like, the picture on the flag looks like the, you know, they're both standing there, but the white guy looks like he's like reaching out to choke the Indian guy. And I, like, to me, that's like South Park levels of like WTF-ness, you know? Like, I can't, I'm really proud of Minnesota for taking out that, let's be polite and call it questionable imagery.
Exactly.
And, you know, people will talk about like, oh, there's all this other stuff that's way more important. You know, why are we working on this? To which I always say, we can work on more than one thing at the same time. Number one, we can work on the flag, but we can, while working on trying to make sure people have access to housing, food, fresh water, etc. But the other thing is, there is no reason why a flag that represents a state or a city should include, you know, denigrating some of the people in that city by like having them being targets for some pioneers to crack their gun on a stump. Be like how, I don't know. This was well thought out, and it's lovely. You guys have a great state flag.
Appreciate it. I like our seal too. It's got the loon in there, but we'll talk about that next week. Hey, we won't talk.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The Biden